He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys. Robin, starting the show. What?
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
There's a exchange of lobbyists versus safety people going on now about the whole thing about AV vehicles being allowed on public roads in a big way. The lobbyists for the AV automatic, what is AV? They call it AV on the autonomous vehicles, right. There's a lot of desire to get autonomous vehicles rolling in a major numerical way on public roads, and they've got to get approval from Congress or the federal government to do it in a big way, and there's a lot of balking going on within some senators and some congressmen and women about turning these AV vehicles loose because one of the things that has to happen is they have to let up on some of the safety regulations that are out there for driver-run vehicles. And the AV vehicle people are really, as I just said, anxious to get their cars on the road numerically off the automatic, off the specialized roads that they've been testing most of these vehicles on so far. And it remains to be seen. And I know Jay is a big proponent of AV vehicles, and he's ready to go and ride in one. But I was thinking about this whole thing because I was thinking, do I want to get into an AV vehicle in Sharon, Connecticut, and say, go to JFK Airport and depend upon that car to get me there reliably time after time without electronic glitches, whatever problems might technically pop up, and I'd have no way of taking over control of that car.
Is that the story with autonomous vehicles? There's no way to take over control?
Ultimately, it is, especially if you go
when
with
you
General
get to
Motors.
Level 5, you know, and we get into those
high-tech stuff.
Fantasy future of no steering wheels, which is, you know.
And no brake pedals.
Arguably decades away.
Yes, arguably decades away.
You're not going to go from Sharon to New York anytime soon without being involved in driving. Now, we all know we like to drive. We're drivers, so it's all fun and fine driving from Sharon and all the way down the Taconic, and then you get closer to the city, and that's where autonomous driving, I think, has its place. And that's why they're testing it in urban areas, and that's where it works best. And so far, you know, we know that the markets they are testing AVs in are basically LA and Phoenix. And Phoenix is the number one market because it is where they have the cleanest, clearest roads. It doesn't rain.
Best markings.
They're new roads because it's a growing city.
Well, I don't want to use a dirty word, but just in terms of infrastructure, you know, obviously we've got some pretty crumbling roads and byways, highways and byways currently just in various places in the country. When
most places.
This, I understand, I'm trying to be diplomatic, but as this is or is not addressed, will it be organized so that the markings, et cetera, are brought up to a standard?
It's going to have to be, I think, before the cars are turned loose. I made a comment on an earlier show, I think, and I've talked to Jay about that. I noticed that Connecticut's many, but not all, of Connecticut's highways were newly marked in the last couple of months, maybe 3 months. Time goes by so fast. And the paint quality, I've been observing what I consider to be very poor paint quality of Connecticut's road marking for a number of years. It's like they didn't mix up the reflective part of the paint very well in the paint batches that were used. And you don't know it until it rains on a dark night and you see a varied luminescence in the paint lines, yellow or white, on Connecticut roads. This year, I've noticed that they were really uniformly terrific, in my opinion. versus what I've noticed in the past. And I've, my mind is one of those minds that sort of has noticed that kind of thing for years, because I said somebody ought to come out and
Somebody has. So, I mean, the European in me will say it, and I've been saying it for the last 25 years, France has the best designed roads. They use road markings for everything, and everything is color-coded, and you turn right and you have everything is white, and you turn
so
left,
the AV cars
is yellow.
So the AV cars will work perfectly in France, but they're not going to work perfectly in New England yet. And the other thing that's now coming under the radar is snow and messy road conditions, and they haven't done a lot of testing in those conditions.
And how does that work
yet
in Europe? Because, you know, I'm absolutely curious. No, seriously. With
they don't have snow, first of all. So, you know, they...
yeah, no, you're right. Europe just, it never snows.
In a lot of areas.
In France, they do.
They do, but not like we have here.
Okay.
And in most parts, they don't.
That is true.
Like we have here. So you can, like in all the French roads, they use reflectors, like you can see on Route 41 when you go into Massachusetts.
Right. And on 7
except
now, too.
But
they put those reflectors in.
The reflectors in our neck of the woods, where we have snow plows 4 months of the year, have to be dug into the roads, which they are not in France. And, you know, you have to dig them in if you're gonna survive
roads.
The winters.
Right.
Yes.
So, you know, okay, reflectors are a little harder to implement here than they are in
all right, but no, but practically speaking, and I will take this back to what is now pretty much ancient technology, but when I had my dish, my massive dish when I moved up here, because the cable company cheerfully assured me that it would only cost me personally $32,000 for them to run the wired from one thing to the next, and, you know, please don't wait anytime soon. So off I went to get a dish which was, you know, what, the size of
There's some still around.
Right, but very, very large. And I didn't want the I have a place with a view that I liked, and it turned out that after all these calculations and so forth, the best place for the dish was right smack in front of the
view.
And I said, well, this is not, how can this be possible? And he said, well, essentially, this was designed, the engineers were in a place where it was flat. So they didn't think about hills and distances to satellites. And I said, this is, so I understand that things, again, they emerge over time based on.
Yeah, I think autonomous vehicles, and this is just, you know, I'm my thinking. I think we're going to see in the next 20 years, we're going to see toll roads or specially reserved roads for autonomous vehicles. Like we have HOV lanes on a lot of highways, not so much in this part of the state, but around Hartford, you do see them, and in other states,
sure,
you see them a lot.
So does it have to be segregated, basically? Do you have to put...
I'm not saying it has to be segregated.
Is
but
it smart?
I think it's gonna, for a while, it may well have to be in the beginning.
Okay, let's be clear.
EV and driver cars.
I'm trying to figure that out.
I know we have isolated incidents of AVs failing. But overall, I think that AVs are still at least as reliable as cars driven.
Let's call them HVs. Human vehicles.
Yeah. HVs are I'm going to say, and I still believe, in the conditions that AVs work well in, I think they are more reliable than HVs.
Right, but we're going to – there are some –
Well, they don't drink, for one,
right.
One thing.
No, they are practical.
And they don't use drugs.
But what I'm – all I'm trying – and they don't fall asleep.
And they don't text.
And
but – we had a power glitch last night, and let me tell you, I'm watching TV, and all of a sudden there were like three or four within about a two-minute space interruptions of power just for minute. But it turned out it wasn't just Sharon, Connecticut.
No, it
was Salisbury. Did you have it at your house?
Not in Falls Village, but I knew about it because it was out in Salisbury for about 15 minutes.
And I called my sister, and she said the power went out. Or she called me and said, did you have a power problem? I said, yes. I said, I can't believe it was Salisbury to Sharon. So something major went down for an instantaneous mind. Now, whether or not AVs are going to be reliable on electronic signals that are going to be electrically conducted, I don't know.
We're having a situation with some interesting computer stuff, you know, trying to over the whole massive thing. we're starting to notice a theme, basically, with one of the more recent updates that has...
Okay, can we stay in cars?
We are, because if you are controlling a massive number of vehicles with this technology that has moments, does, you know, is there something built into... That's what I'm asking.
Well, I don't know.
The exact same thing that you're saying, and it is about cars.
This is my concern about what happens if I get in a car here and, say, go to JFK, and between here and there, we have something like that happening.
I think we've discussed this. I mean, the car... I mean, we've discussed the situations where cars pull all the alarm systems and just stop right there and then. The fact of the matter is... they will still sound a system and an alarm, and the driver should be ready to take over. And we'll say it again and again and again, or I'll say it, autonomous vehicles does not mean that you should not be driving a car. And I always equate that to...
Flying a plane.
And we come back to education, and maybe we will need special licenses to...
And what do you...
Jay, are you capitulating? Are you suggesting that maybe we shouldn't have steering wheelless and brake pedalless cars on the road because we should always be available? The human should always be
able... I think you misunderstood me.
No, I don't think I did at all.
I never said we should not have steering wheels in cars.
Well, you've been sort of boo-hooing me when I've said, well, we shouldn't have steering wheel cars. Oh, they'll be fine. You don't have to know. You know, what's the difference? So
has anyone noticed?
I'm
just changing the subject, not for any other reason than I'm getting a word in edgewise. Has anyone noticed there's a commercial I don't know what the make is, but it's an electric hybrid, and it's a plug-in, and it's all very chatty and conversational. You notice how things change? Well, you know, back in the day. But now, soon, everybody will be plugging their cars into the garage. Have you seen that? Because
I've seen a similar ad to that, but what I also heard read in an article was that the problem is right now we got the same problem between, like, we had a VHS versus what was the other tape form?
Betamax.
And there are right now, at least, I believe this article said, three different plug formations that are not necessarily compatible with... If they're going to put a charging grid in nationally...
You need a universal plug.
Either going to have a universal plug, or they're going to have to put a system in with three plug options so that whoever comes in with whatever plug they've got, they will be able to get an attached to that grid.
What do you know about that?
Nothing, but it seems pretty obvious. I mean, I think that will... As the grid develops, there will be... more and more standardized outlets
I don't know why it isn't being dictated to the manufacturers that they should have a universal plug right out of the box, because right now you've got a Tesla plug, you've got a General Motors plug, you've got a Ford plug.
It's a free country. We don't like to be dictated.
It is, because we don't like to be dictated, but at some point it's going to have to be standardized so that people can actually go out and buy it.
And also, what happens when I sell a house with somebody who has a Mercedes plug system into somebody who owns a Volvo, and they are going to have to change the system unless there's a universal system in place? Because you have to, when you buy an electric plug-in vehicle, you better darn well put in an electrical charging station in your garage or on your property.
This was very clear, in the advert, that they had it in their garage.
Jay hasn't thought this far ahead yet, but he's looking at me as he's opening his eyes.
I think we're discussing a non-issue. I mean,
we are for
every electrical outlet in this country is different from every electrical outlet in most other countries, and yet we use the same computers, we use the same
appliances, some of us...
and
Jay, there's some hold water. Let's move on. Where do we want to go, Jay? You had something to talk about. Let's go. Tesla Model 3. How about discussing it?
It's a great car.
It is, and it's out in the news, major magazines right now. And there are some 375,000 to 500,000 orders, maybe disappearing, maybe holding forth. And I would say that if anybody had put in an order and was wondering how many years it was going to take to get their car, if they're number 425,000 on the order list, they will read this these articles and want to hold on to their orders as opposed to go to the Chevy Bolt, Jay's favorite, and or another plug-in electric car that is already available and can be ordered and received within 6 months.
Well, last
right, you can buy a Chevy Bolt, drive it for 100,000 miles,
and then your car will be ready.
And your car will be ready,
right?
So there's no conflict.
There's no conflict.
Okay, I'll go with Jay on that.
I just for 1 second do want to go back to the plugging things in though. Mm-hmm. You have to have the experience of going to Europe and plugging in your. You know, everybody has to burn out that. What's that smell? Everybody has to do that once or twice to learn that actually there are different systems. And
let me go back to the plug-ins, the hybrids. I think the hybrid plug-in, the use for a hybrid plug-in is that you charge your car and you run your local errands on full electric. You know, most cars now are getting 15, 20, and we're inching up to 30 miles. So you plug in your car overnight. You live even in the woods around here. You can go
30 or 40 miles.
You can go
without fear.
Without fear, there
are a couple of Volt owners that are doing that.
And then you come back, and if you need gasoline to come back, that engine will just
use it,
start up, right. and run.
And that's the hybrid.
That's
not the Bolt.
Okay, that's the hybrid. And so I think charging stations and a grid and a network for hybrids is just a moot point. I drive on a regular basis a hybrid plug-in and go to New York. Well, I can go on pure electric from the other side of Salisbury all the way to I get into Armenia, and then that's it. That's it. I use
then it's automatic.
And then it's a hybrid. Interestingly, if I put it in sport mode and the engine stays on, the battery actually recharges, and then when I get into traffic and creep in New York City,
it recharges.
I can put it back into hybrid mode, and I have 2, 3, 4 miles of
pure
electric again. So,
yeah, again, it's evolving.
It's evolving, and there's a use for hybrid electrics, hybrid cars. The question is, some cars, in some cases, it's a very expensive option. The new Hyundai, what's the name of that? The Ioniq?
The Ioniq.
We're not counting on a lot of hybrid plug-ins because the plug-in is a big incremental cost.
But still, and not really over $32,000 unless you option the car up with other things. But because it's competing with the Prius, which already has a pure plug-in, plus the combination gasoline engine and plug-in feature model available, their pricing has got to sort of remain somewhat muted no matter what the cost is to produce that car.
You just reminded me, actually, I haven't heard that Ioniq song for a while.
I haven't either.
Did they?
They were slow to have inventory.
Did they hit some snag?
They haven't been. They have not been advertising.
They sure looked as though when it first came out, as annoying as it was, they were flooding. Let's just say the zone with "Hi, we're here."
Well, I've driven the Ioniq, and the Ioniq I drove was a regular gasoline electric combination. It wasn't a plug-in, and it was rated at 50 miles a gallon either average or highway and 42 or 44 city type of situation, or maybe it's reverse, but they're not promoting it. You're right, it's sort of gone off the radar screen as far as the company.
You just mentioned
production.
It and I suddenly went, oh, do you have any insight?
Nope. But let me get back to hybrid plug-ins, and I think there is one, and I talked about it a couple of weeks ago when we were picking out cars. BMW has a plug-in hybrid that they are selling for the same price as pure gasoline. And granted, it's a luxury car.
Yes, it's $200,000 or whatever it is.
No, it's not. It's a $55,000 car.
Are you talking about the i3?
No, I'm talking about the BMW 5 Series.
Okay, yeah.
And the base model can be had either as a pure gasoline or a hybrid plug-in. And
Lincoln did this a few years back, too, with their MKZ. They kept it the same price as the gasoline version because there was all this talk about how the hybrids were more expensive and therefore that was the reason they weren't going to sell because the public wouldn't pay the extra premium to get the hybrid drivetrain.
Is that true? Because once you're at that level, can't it be a personal preference? In other words, well, once you
financially,
if you've got $75,000 to spend on a car,
I personally believe that if you're, there are certain cars out there that are, and I know them and the people with when it comes to hybrid plug-ins, it's not a matter of cost. Yeah. It's a matter of
principle.
However,
with an L.
I would say one of the best used vehicles to buy for people who are on limited budgets would be a used Prius level hybrid if they can use, if it's purposely commodious for what they need to do it. And it's a four-door sedan. So I don't know what the used vehicle prices are, but they're probably sub $20,000 if they're over 3 years old and have 50,000 or 70,000 miles on them. And they'll probably come with a battery guarantee, which at new, I believe, is like 8 years or 100,000 miles. But I have yet to know too many owners who are well over 100,000 miles that have ever had to replace the original battery coming with their car. And I have a lifetime battery warranty on my Hyundai Sonata Hybrid, so it doesn't matter how many miles I drive, I will get free batteries for life. And it may not be transferable to you if you were to buy my car, but I could keep this car for 20 years. Put 500,000 miles on if it lasted that long, and maybe I go through three battery packs, if at all. Who knows? So, but used Priuses would be a very good economical car for people who go out and buy these used cars that eat up gas like crazy, and you see lots of them around.
Is that okay?
Hybrids are not that expensive, except when you get up into the exotic car lanes, and even a BMW 5 Series at $50,000
plug-ins. The plug-ins,
I know you are.
Are still, some of them are expensive.
Plug-ins are more expensive
because you need.
They have
to plug
a bigger battery pack. They also have a bigger battery pack in there too, and it's the battery cost that escalates a lot of the.
There used to be subsidies for that. Is that?
They are still there. I believe Trump was, our president was going to make them not be around too long, but I think the lobbyists won over, and the incentives are still currently there. And they make a great deal about that. When you buy a Bolt at $37,000, you have a $7,500 tax. It's only $30,000, but I don't know how often that tax is usable by some of the buyers of those cars. I'm not sure what your income has to be to make that a usable tax write-off situation.
Right. And let me just go back to the, because I'm seeing an automobile or some sort of magazine that's very glossy, and it definitely looks like the paid for promotion by Tesla. Is that?
Well, I just reminded myself, Rob, I was looking at this picture this morning thinking of what the dashboard of the Tesla Model 3 reminded me of, and Robin just brought it up. It looks like a second-generation Prius dashboard.
That's true.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with
that.
That
was the best part of the Toyota Prius design.
Yes, it was.
Was the original?
Simplistic dashboard.
The simple dashboard.
Tesla takes it one step further with a big touchscreen. It looks like the size of the smallest television screens we used to buy for our kitchens. And, it's a touchpad, and everything happens on the touchpad.
But is the touchpad in view of the...
Jay will show you the picture.
But it's not...
Our audience can't see it. It's in the center console.
Do your eyes come off the road or not?
They have a heads-up display to take over that part of where... So you, once you get used to that, you see most of what you need to see in the windshield directly in front as you're looking down the road. But I suppose you do. They don't talk about that much. About the touch pad, if you want to do the radio or the heater or all that, you probably have to take your eyes off the road to do it.
I have a personally.
I'm running out of time, so let's.
We can rediscuss touch pads some other time because I do have opinions about. But let's get back to cars.
I've had two touch pads replaced in both of my two vehicles, a Jeep and my Hyundai. And I do not know what the durability factor of the touchpads on these Tesla cars and Priuses and these coming electronic cars are going to be, but they're going to have to be very reliable because to replace the one in the Jeep saved me under warranty would save me $4,000, and to replace the one in the Sonata, I don't know what the cost of that was. And they both have to do with they hold the radios, they hold the Bluetooth technology, everything is behind them or something. So they're replacing a computer, basically, is what they're doing. And God forbid, out of warranty, these things start to fail. because people will not be happy.
He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys.